Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Honourable Member. As indeed Chair has actually said, I'm not going to waste your time on the detail because members have actually read your report. But I just want to indicate that there are two parts of the report. However, when we decided to present you the media report, which includes the quarter report, therefore, our presentation is going to start just on the highlights. The first slide, what we're doing there, we're providing you with work of pilots to date, and this is a period from the 22nd of May to the 30th of September. That infographic explains that there's new activities in employment and wage in wherever clients in that slide. So we're looking at the number of sittings, looking at the number of the rate of replies to the questions, we're looking at the bills. In committees, we're also looking at international engagement, and finally on the procedural advice given, and we are providing them in an NASA program. So those are just facts as they are. And I will then move on to the slide that we always present to you to say, on quarter one, we try to just explain to you some of the activities that entailed. Quarter one, it was an induction of members. All members were involved in the induction, which we definitely know that will continue, and the establishment of committees in that period, and of course, issues around discussion of procedures to remove public protection and movement that we present there. Obviously, the National Health Insurance Bill becomes a big one, which is actually through public participation in this way. We also provide you with the debate on the NA and NCOP. I'm not going to time, but it's what the members have been engaged for. Coming to media of performance, on financial performance snapshot, the slide that follows, you know, the next one, yes. We have indeed taken on board the request of the members that against the annual targets, against the annual indicators, we provide you with a narrative of where those are at. Those members had indicated that if we don't do that, we are not able to track. As it is nothing untoward, we're not worried about any other we will not meet. The reason being, in the following slide, we provide you with the updates. All of those targets are actually based on the annual service, and those annual service are presently in field, and we know that by December we will actually be receiving a report from all the service that we have on time for submission in March, where we actually provide you with the annual target, the met or not met. What we also do is we provide you with the other activities that are actually indicating the extent to which parliament has been engaging the public, activities that we carry out with the stakeholders. We are applying it then in a slide that explains the activities as in that slide here. And of course, if you look at strategy objective 3.1, strategy objective 3.1, and 1.1, the data can be informed by the service that we have. So we use the same type of survey to derive our targets from. Of course, we also improve the work that we're doing there. I will move with speed. The next slide, just I want to highlight that with respect to universal access, which is ICT access to our website, access to email, and of course the ICT infrastructure, we're sitting at 82.1, and that is also hitting at the 10 quarter target, and we know that by the end of the year we'll actually have met that target. And the rest of those are the surveys that I was talking about. The next part talks to how we measure our effectiveness with respect to human capital or human resources by using the TMI. And we do understand that it has got 1, 2, 3, 4 sub-indicators, acquisition of talent. You see that this quarter, this media, we're reporting that there has been a slight increase with respect to vacancies. We're sitting at 1.7, which then is above target. We're sitting at 11.7, which is above target by 1.7. This is a result of natural attrition. There's quite a lot of staff that is retiring. Excellent aid, some are put off ill, and we obviously have a presentation there. And then we also outline some of the problems that we have actually introduced and exposed our leadership to, particularly managers, of course. We've conducted a women in leadership program. We've had coaching for senior managers. And we think that the coaching will actually need to be kept to due to our management empowerment. And we've also had an executive development program for senior managers empowerment. Organizational realignment is a big, because before I do that, labor relations climate, I think that aspect was actually presented to this committee when we were talking about the climate survey that we conducted in empowerment for members for Southern Surrey. And then, of course, organizational realignment. This is a restructuring that we continue to have and provide you with the data and update rather on what we have been doing that further. It's quite a massive program or project that is looking at whether it's a structure for the strategy. The following sections of Chairperson Honourable Member is the expenditure. I want to just say we've gone through expenditure to date. We have no sense of anxiety around the fact that we will not use our time. The only advice we have is that the cost of the services. Because there is an overspend there, as we indicated, because of the exit the office, the loss of office opportunity and exiting of members. We're sitting there at an overexpenditure, and it's like overexpenditure of about 128 million. Out of that, we have just been given 23 million by Treasury. Much as that's a direct of charge, it obviously has impact on our budget. And second to that, said that we're going to continue with promise, like we said, I think, earlier on, which increases our budget and something that we need to our budget for. We will continue to look like a going concern, primarily because of that deficit as a result of the over expenditure in that area. The following part of the report, if you go on to the next slide, we'll finish with financial. For what we are giving you the rest of the presentation breaks down the various programs and the targets. So it's almost like a repeat of what I summarized earlier on. I can only go into this, members want to know specifically which areas we match targets and in which areas we're not. What we do is we provide you a graph and then from there we go individually per target. So that's how we've been reporting. So through your chair, I'm not going to waste your time too much on that. I can just go to program 1, strategic leadership or governance, where you see the red, where we say that 100% was our media target. The variance is minus 18.7. And we said to members, it isn't that we did not meet the target. Work was done. However, our timeline in terms of turnaround is 7 days. If the reports are produced in different areas beyond 7 days, it is because we didn't meet the 7 days. That doesn't really work for a long time. So that's where the one range is. The other range is there isn't any other range. If I can move quickly, program three, there is a range where we haven't met the target on core business, which talks to the service charters that we haven't met, and then there's an outline on the next slide, which shows that, for instance, there was quite a lot of volume on council. The documentation was an issue around the extent to which we were able to meet the access to information or PIA response, which was just one request. And this is often where, for instance, the request from the public says, we need minutes of a particular committee and we need it in 2 days' time. We cannot issue those minutes until we speak with the chairperson of that committee and ask for permission for the chairperson to sign up those minutes. So if somebody is demanding it to 3 days' time or 2 days' time, we don't meet it. And we do have to put a record that we did not meet the person's request. So it's not like it was deliberate or we didn't know what we were doing. On the overall chain, I would rather not waste your time on the other time. Because if you look at the map all gray, and I've explained progress on each of those, and I would suggest to the members that we go straight to the last part of the presentation, that we want to conclude that we will definitely, first and foremost, the budget we will spend. Secondly, we will obviously have concerns over the over-expenditure with respect to loss of office productivity. And thirdly, the annual targets are being tracked, and we are going to meet those targets within a year. And the expenditure with respect to the budget, we don't see any unforeseen under expenditure. And I think I want to stop here so that we then have to take the discussion. And show you where the next up and then I would prepare so that I don't repeat myself. Thank you.
I think thank you very much for your time and presentation. Then you can allow me to there's no other presentation that I would have.
No, ma'am. Because this is a media presentation. So it reflects the quota. So in your pack, we would have sent you two reports. We sent you the quarter report, but once we did the media, it includes, as I said, it is from the 22nd of May to the 30th of September.
Thank you. Thank you. Can the members raise their hands so I can identify them for a question? You can take the floor while members tell the video.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, that was really quick.
Very good.
And it's good that we had a briefing earlier. I was just trying to find specific issues. The first question I want to raise is that we had a briefing earlier, and one of the issues we raised is that the presentation has a combination of quarterly targets and annual targets. And we see that as a weakness for this committee. It's difficult for this committee to monitor progress during the course of the year and annual targets. So what we'd like to do, or what I'd certainly like to suggest to the joint chairs of the committee, is that we implement a milestone system, where you tell us how you're going year to date on several annual targets. We don't want to hear at the end of the year that there's been a problem. We'd like to hear during the course of the year. So when you commit to quarterly targets, you're giving those to us. But can we just discuss the possibility of having annual targets, milestone targets per quarter as we go along, so we can pick up problems before they get out of control. The second question relates to, there were three areas where targets weren't met. Now you mentioned Hansard, where targets weren't met. Is that literally only where frankly I think it's unrealistic to contact the committee and say 2 days after a meeting we want the militant and that's a family and hands on. Perhaps you need to set more realistic objectives. Because otherwise you say hands on is the only way targets, but in actual fact, it's not an unrealistic target. Anyway, so maybe we need to redefine the parameters there to get this done. The other issue is the compensation of unrealistic caps, which I believe was supposed to be done in 2.5 days. And there's now 4.7 final tax. Can we just get some clarification as to what the reason for that is? And then to the life of me, I made notes on it earlier, which was another aspect, another item that wasn't met, another target that was met. Maybe you can help us out. There were three targets not met in that particular sector. That's all I have at this stage, Chair. Oh, sorry, then the other thing I want to, it doesn't seem to come up in these reports, but I just learned this from a personal point of view, that there seems to be a failure in the study unit. I've received complaints from a number of members that the study unit simply is just not functioning. Members are not being communicated with in terms of their ongoing studies, studies that they'd like to engage in the future. There's just no communication. When members, and it's not only myself, when members communicate with the units, they get no response. I don't know who can respond to that. I know that's not in here, but I'm taking the opportunity of raising it formally. Because it is a problem for a number of members that I've spoken to, and I suppose we are representing them here. So if we can get a comment on that, thank you. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Thank you,
Honourable
Member.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. Good afternoon, everybody. Sorry about that for the short one. I attend so many of these committees that deal with similar things on the study. I think you're talking about assisting members to study. Yeah, I know it was agreed in some quarter, some committee, that those who have been studying last year and continue this year, Parliament will meet those costs. But nothing new for now until next year. That's what I was told. But anyway, let's hear it from the officers. I shouldn't say officers, I don't know which market it's going to come out of. But let's hear it from there. Chairperson, I just want to know with regard to the facilities, I mean, the members' claims and all that. Have there been any interviews for additional sports staff in that particular section? And when are those positions going to be filled? Because we will be putting unnecessary pressure on the current staff that are there, and members will continuously complain that you haven't met the 2.5 days, and it shouldn't be because you're not capacitated, so we can get an answer to that. Then with regard to, and also the legal section, I don't know if anybody will get from legal, if there have been any interviews and appointments recently. And the other one relates to spending with regard to the facilities in the old assembly, the dining facilities, the library and everything else. Are we on track in terms of the timelines that will open next year when we get there? And this morning I met a gentleman there, I'm very impressed with the kind of idea that he gave me to make the library and precinct a little more friendly. Because now it's hidden in there, you know, we who are here all, we know about it, but just to create some a buzz outside of the library. I don't know if that was discussed with anybody else. Have like an internet cafe or something there. Members can take their guests and sit around there and make it a nice warm environment, but be able to move the stuff when you need that particular foyer for functions and things like that. Yeah. Just to, because it's too grey and cold there, you know, when you walk in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I'm now leaving the committee because I'm not raising Honorable Julia and Honorable Julia.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My apologies for being a bit late. I was just having a in terms of the loss of gratuity fund, there was an overspend. Will this affect policy changes in the future? future, because this greatly affects the Parliament's budget for this year. So if you can just be taken through what your strategic plan in terms of that, because it mostly happens every 5 years. Does the policy include members that will leave Parliament during these 5 years also? And if so, what the impact of this on Parliament's budget? If we can get a copy of the policy, if there is a policy also, the chairperson, then we can also study the policy and also come up with a few recommendations on this, because it certainly crippled the activities of Parliament this year. Secondly, chairperson, there's also the projected overspending under Program 5. And the reason stated was there's one more political party. So if it can just be explained that there's one more political party that the money remains the same, so it must be shared amongst all political parties, the members being the same. Can you just explain the overspending part? How is it possible? Can you just explain that? And then the restructuring of the organogram of Parliament. Can you just elaborate on that in terms of the impact on the budget of Parliament? Certainly as an effect, but with this I also want to aid the staff in the various restaurants. We have 4 restaurants in Parliament. I think we have about 70 staff members, and that includes everyone, from a chef to other people working with the girls and so forth, you know. Do you think it's sufficient? Are there any plans to increase it? Are there any plans to increase their benefits? You know, I think it's time they need a bit of more money. Those people can barely survive on what they are currently earning. Is there anything set out for them? Then in terms of organogram, those people, we know we had, I think in 1994, we had about over 400 staff members working in our restaurant. Now we have 70. I stand to be corrected, because I tried to interview some of our staff members, you know, they constantly ask us about these things. I think they are under serious strain, and members are sitting. When you go for breakfast, you have to wait a little bit longer, sometimes 20 minutes, and you cannot let you know that we are understaffed, because some people have to run to their poverty room and other poverty rooms, and they simply cannot handle the pressure. Did you look into this thing? Is it something that you also plan? And then the recommendations of the adjustment budget. Are there any recommendations that you are providing to members? Because I think there must be recommendations. I'll stop at that chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Another question.
Thank you, Chair. My first take was around the... I don't think I should be creating my own class. The mess question made on around 30 chapters. I missed a point there because it's one that the gratitude that we cannot fail to up it. But there's something that you said around 30 chapters that I want to just get time to where I would say we haven't really well around it or a bit, but there is something that seemed to be needing our attention, but if they say the church that we are not doing well, then it means they say that area needs to be up. There is a, they are quite common ways of sentences that are coming now and then that say high volume of work, processing of sales, high volume of work, and picked up two times of them at the opening of this report. Doesn't it suggest that the span of control has to be reviewed, such that now there is satisfactory job done at the end of the day? But there has to be a thorough review of that. If it will be a trend of high volume of work, target not reached, high volume of work, target not reached, it means then there has to be a renewal of span of control that you are having with the intention to reconfigure or to get it sorted out. Thank you.
Okay, I found the matters that I had missed from earlier. The other issues that the child superintendent are referring to is policy advice and documentation. If you can just comment on the reasons for that. The reason given is that high volumes of work experienced in the second quarter. Can you just clarify what that means? Have you cut staff? Is it just too much work? What is the case? Then, coming to a very important issue raised by our researchers was the issue of savings. The executive has been reduced from 75 to 63 members of the executive, and committees, as a result of that, have been reduced from 57 to 46 committees. That must have caused the saving. Can you quantify that saving for us? How much was saved? And how is that being spent? How is that money being applied to other areas to increase the parliamentary experience? Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. Two questions for me. Can the Secretary of Parliament and clarify us in terms of the correct extra spending for the deputy secretary for business. Because slide 35, quarter two presentation, and slide 27, midterm presentation, are talking two different things. So can we get the real accurate spending for that? In terms of the organizational realignment, the material partly spoke about what I wanted to raise. I just want to flag the fact that the midterm report, page 37, indicates that the new structure was implemented in June and July 2019. It further reports that the organizational realignment design project was budgeted an amount of 30 million, of which 147 million of this budget has been spent to date. Can we also get a breakdown on the money that has been spent so far in terms of the implementation of the new structure?
Thank you very much. This is
Chairperson, yes, thank you. I missed just one. Program 2, in terms of the development of members. You said that this performance target was achieved, but yet it was deferred. You know, if you look at the midterm budget and assessment and so on, it was deferred. So I'd like to know if it was achieved or not, because there seems to be a discrepancy in reporting. And if you think it was reported, it was achieved, what exactly was achieved? Because I think there was only one target set, and the target was deferred to the 2019-2020 budget. So if you can just explain why you say it was achieved. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think I'll just make additions to what the members have raised. In terms of the recruitment of staff, what is the topic there? So they have a conversation. Or you talk about the recruitment of staff or organizational. Yeah, I think previously we have been, we have identified over and above what members are talking about, and we have both agreed, both of the reports, that among other issues that we should focus on or plan to attend to is labor relations, that we are making the parliament. There was also an issue that was raised in the further IT defense, because we were made to understand that people who were working here, they were on contract or temporary contract, on contract, and it has expired. I don't know what is the trend going forward, how we like to do it. The people who were working in IT, they have, I think, finally, they are overworked if they don't have some people around them. On program one, the target set by TBO of they are targeting 6 and 12 months, and already before the end of the year they have reached where and I think they are under estimating. I think they need to be realistic in terms of the target setting. So also if you look at their speciality that they need to give to committees, that this means that if they target six and they are required or need from other committees are able to, but I think they are doing that because they have exceeded the 6 already. So I think when they set these targets, they need to be realistic. The other thing that we have identified is the issue of the treasury advice that has been in the plan, and today, is the premium for and maybe one has to raise an issue that the trust plan, the institution is still operating with the old trust plan. I don't know which meeting was this, but we were in the old assembly, where we were informed that they were still waiting for the house, two houses to go there, just trying to have a parliament session to be able to develop themselves. being into a period of time that long time ago. I don't know about SAPC and the launch of the first plan in general of the structure. Because if you don't have a plan, then you'll be also then you'll be giving us a problem to can measure your performance. So I think that's the other issue that they give me a problem. The issue of the program has been attended to. And also the issue of the report, the total report, that we should not wait. We'll have an annual plan, but we will have to get total report. Because from where I am, I'm informed that it was difficult for the previous committee where they would only be able to get the report at the end of the financial year. And that, I don't think, in terms of the touching of me. Your time is on the issue of the expenditure. There's an over expenditure of 12 million under this year financial economic talking about over and above other issues, the issues of the payment of members, gratuity and other things. That's contributed to this. But I would like to know that this overspending of this amount is it only what contributed. What is the contributing factor? It's only the members' benefit or the other issues that are contributing to this and overextending. To can deal with that because my problem is if in 2018 or 1819 there was a finding or concern that it was raised, then that concern comes again in the following financial year. It becomes a problem, which means you have not planned as to how are you going to deal with that or a plan to rectify that. As a collective measure going forward. So you can't have the same concern in two financial years. Of the cabinet, they are talking to me. is how does this reconsideration of cabinet impact on or relate to parliament? How does it relate to parliament, this saving that there is that? Because I think to a certain extent it's what Honourable Nemali expects in the far saving. Because now we have lesser committees, unlike the previous chair. So to me, as a volunteer person, to me, it suggests that we would say, because we have lesser committees.
Thank you so much for the questions, Chairperson. Indeed, the division managers were also assist with responding, but there is not here. The first thing I'm going to do, what is that of the annual tariff? If members go to the media report, the presentation, you go to slide number 8 and number 9 and slide number 10 and slide number 11. Those are the timelines that we provide in terms of what we have achieved. In the past committee, we did not even explain to the members that by this time, let's take, let me just deal with the service, the targets that as a result of annual service. In our ATP, we say we want to bring 65% of the population knowing and understanding local politics. We issue, but we then do have a time frame because we know if the survey is not inferred between October and November, we will never get the report in December straightforward. So when we do that, we exchange, we then have included in the report, in the presentation, to say the stakeholder survey is now in filled, and already there are questionnaires that we sent to members, and the fieldwork will complete by end of November, December. The first draft report will be in January. So on page 8, we say the stakeholder engagement information session will help, but we also say that this indicator, because it's measured by an annual survey in the narrative report, we explain where we are at. We even indicated that with that survey, we know that we need to hire at least a draft report by December. So we are timing those, and that's within all of the annual targets we're doing it. With ICT one, the ICTs have got quarterly reports, hence in the report on the slide that talks to strategic objective 1.4 on the investment access. And the ICT says the current performance for the mid-year is sitting at 82.1. Our target is obviously 100. We may not reach 100 if in fact there's a whole disruption in our server because there might have been some cyber attack and so on, but that's our target. However, we're tracking that back, showing the members where we are at. On that very slide, strategic objective 1.5, percentage of population who are aware of business of parliament. We say this indicator is measured by an annual survey Person provider has been appointed, and the questionnaire approved for the framework. That is the timeline and the delivery address where we are at. So we try to unpack it because it is in the past committee meeting, we've not taken this merit. Over and above that, we always also give other things that we are doing that are qualitative and not quantitative. The reason we have this quality target only on quantitative is when we started, we used a merit. So we keep that, but we provide a narrative on where we are at. So, Chairperson, we definitely are addressing that. On the matter of the, I'm trying to move this matter here. Yes, I want to say that indeed the reconfiguration of cabinet has happened. However, unlike the select committees in the MCOP, we were also integrated. With the NA, there's some level of integration. So in the past, there was one committee, even when we used to recruit in the NA, portfolio committee would say, researcher in development economics. We don't do that anymore when we recruit. But once the PCs were integrated to some extent in the NA, the services were still needed. So we haven't retrenched any researcher or any content advisor as was supporting both the NA and the NTOP. What we've even done better, when we look at how we are restructuring and re-engineering, we're now taking the concept of the shared service. So the researchers and content advisors are researchers and content advisors of Parliament, not of NTOP and NA. What we used to have is if we had more NA researchers that needed to help the NTOP, they would actually refuse and say, no, actually, I work for the NTOP. I'm an NTOP researcher, not an NA. So we've also been introducing a shared service. So we haven't retrenched any persons because those portfolios are still there on the members. They haven't gone anywhere. So the itself is an integration. And we're pulling together officials to work exactly in the same area in which they are services to be needed across board. So there hasn't been any saving on the member. All we're doing, we are not recruiting now in line with a particular portfolio committee because that's recruiting researchers. And then I want to deal also with Chairperson's. We submitted a detailed report on human resources. And I think in my memorandum, I even said, because of the law of things around HR, I requested that maybe you may consider having a meeting where you just deal quite focused on HR matters. Submission I made 3 weeks ago. So I'm awaiting the officers to say when we can do that because we want to really look at those areas. Okay, so we will hear from honorable members when we need to deal with those matters. I want to talk to you.
Given if I just came across you quickly, I'm still going to be lost. The savings, you've gone from 75 members of the executive down to 63. Who pays them? Surely you have is it somebody else differently paying them or they paid as members? So the question is, surely there's a saving in the salary because that is how I think
the reason
is. What we've been told is that there will be no savings at all. And I'm saying, surely there must be.
The honorable member of the staff members. Oh, I thought you were talking about the officials. No. When they leave, if they leave having been sworn in as members and lost of office graduates, we pay. And that is why we're sitting at 134 million.
Members of the executive.
Yes. The department paid their salaries, I'm sorry.
That's 12 less ministerial salaries. Surely there's a saving.
The Fairborn clarified, we don't take cabinet ministers from our salaries. That's the
10th Honorable Chairman, let me clarify this one of the interaction of the executive and the civic. If the cessation with the interaction of the executive is at the department level, because we had 73 cabinet members before, so the department were paying their salaries. Now we've got 63, which means for parliament we are taking care of extra trends which was not there. So for parliament is extra salaries.
Sorry, Honourable Member, I'm not your same official.
Thank you.
With respect to the Treasury Office, we must report that we have done advert, and we have process of presenting shortlist into the Executive Authority, because that is a function that belongs to the Executive Authority, supporting them in terms of the financial and the MPPL, so in that process. PBO, Honourable Member, I am of the view that because going forward with the amendments, the Money Bills Amendments Act, the Secretary to Parliament is no more responsible for the PBO. We're just reporting with respect to the old strategy, like Honourable Member said. So it will be a discussion that has to be taken up by the Joint Committee on Finance on how they set their target to a level that is on. At such a level as the working member was saying. Their work, from what we understand, their work is as almost demand driven. And it might as well be that when they do their strategy with the members, as well as the council in terms of the act, they will then revisit how they want them to do that. And going forward, we will not be reporting on the PBO as it doesn't belong to us anymore. I'm going to give to, yes ma'am, the strategy, the NDA went into a working session, indeed you correct ma'am, and SOP did the same. We had a point where we have now been given a date by the program meeting this morning during the Chief's Forum, not the program, the Chief's Forum of the NDA, a date where they have to revisit the discussions they had in that 2 days. Because in terms of the process, both the NA and NCOP have to converge their means, out of which we have to find the policy priorities. From the policy priorities, we have to develop the strategic objectives that inform the strategy for the 6th Parliament. And that process has to be completed at least by the 28th of February. However, the NA will be meeting, we've been given a date this morning, I think, on the 27th or the 26th of November, where they are going to be paying back to the members that these are the things you said must happen. But included in that will be both houses deciding which of the 40 parameters must fit in the strategy, out of which will derive strategic objectives. Aligned to that, we have to revise it because there is convenient for the prioritization. We currently haven't gotten any adjustments to our budget report as requested. By us and the other media. So we are definitely going to complete, in terms of our plan, the strategy of the 6th Parliament must be tabled by the 27th or 28th of February. And I noticed it has been put through both houses. I think it's on the 18th, it was definitely limited in both houses. Can I just move over to the service charter? Ms. Beck is there, and Dr. Beck and all the rest. Ms. Beck can talk to targets that were not met in the service charter and provide also the explanation of the service charter with the sub-indicators in the service charter. Good afternoon, members and colleagues. I am happy to report the core business support met all its targets in the charter to Chair.
Okay,
everyone
will explain why they didn't
need
those
targets. Thank you, good afternoon, Honourable Member. I can speak to the targets relating to handbag and documentation section. The documentation section targeting the APP deals with requests for information in terms of the Promotion of Access to Information Act. There were 5 requests in the quarter that followed into that media that were received from one organization, My Vote Counts, and it related to funding of political parties. So they sent it to a 5 separate press, like one for party support allowances, disability support, constituency allowances, party leadership support, and then they had their lot of requests on the financial management of time and regulation. So those requests had to go through a legal opinion just to make sure that we were within the act that was passed January of 2019. The Act says that information around political party funding could be released after the election. So the request came in after the election. We went through a legal opinion on what could be disclosed and should be disclosed in terms of the Act. And as information became available from political parties, they were given to my vote count. So it didn't relate to the full sum of information that was there. In fact, the tail end of the provision of that information was missed by one day. And it was related, unfortunately, just from the calculation of the 30 days in which to provide information. But all of the information that was requested was provided. So that dealt with documentation. In terms of the hand part, it again relates to when the program scheduled mini plenary. And the mini plenary is going to get that number of concurrent sessions. The 5-day turnaround time is not always met because we have the same number of staff dealing with the underground hand part, and there are more concurrent sessions during mini plenary periods. But all of those unadvised hand parts have been produced. If they just missed that 5-day target by 1 or 2 days.
Right. So I'll deal with the matters of restructuring reorganization. Indeed, when we started doing the realignment, we were really looking at the way in which we work smart. We were sitting at 1,285 field positions, and when we worked out, we realized that on the establishment we had about 1,700. So we had vacancies that had been sitting for more than 3 years or so without being filled. We started off by addressing those vacancies and just establishing them. And then we had a whole consultation with KPMG then, 2 years ago. Before there were problems with KPMG, who did an analysis on how we work. And we then reorganized also workshops during that time where they outlined, and we gained feedback on the fact that we must manage our processes, we must deal with a set of control, and we must also deal with the job descriptions which were antiquated. And that's when we got into reorganizing in the manner in which we anticipated to organize. We realized that the weight is too much because we then took the whole task because it was an institution level re-engineering. So, because if I'm sitting in the position and the same re-engineering, I'm thinking of myself, yes, it's about the job and not myself. However, because we had to relinquish the work done by KPMG, all they did, they gave us the analysis they have done. Our OD internal is doing that work, and what we decided to do is to do it phase in because we cannot do the whole shift. In what we reported to ourselves is, if you go to, I think there's a slide where we are indicating that, for instance, we've identified certain offices in consultation with the principal. So the first one is the treasurer, the second one is the registrar. And then we have the legal area that we want to definitely strengthen in terms of what the needs of Parliament are. Then, of course, we also had to re-engineer human resources, which now has adopted a different approach of business partnering, so that we don't have one person doing one thing and one thing alone. And that is working well. And now the work of restructuring is really driven by HR, working with organizational development, because we do have staff that have been trained in that. In line with, I think Honourable Mello was asking about benefits and payments. In fact, when we started in sourcing, we realize that to insult is important primarily around food and things like that, because they do actually present as separate children. In parliamentary way, at any point in time, there are three arms of state. The advantage of the insulting was that you have security. However, the challenge was that we needed to make sure that whoever we insult, king and everything, had to be people who was rich, who had minimum requirements. We are aware that at least staff that were employed by Ibex, and you could say, had an average salary of about nearly 3,000 a month, and we now pay them three times. So we pay them three times of that amount. Definitely, we saw even that agreement that was engaged, that was entered into between Parliament and the company that was outsourced, what it was outsourced to. But second to that, we're quite aware that we have a shortage, particularly in the restaurants, but that shortage is mostly about attrition. There's a lot of employees who have reached a particular age, and in fact, this year we've seen a lot of the retirement and falling, and we have a whole plan on how we're going to address those matters. But currently what we do actually pull in session on people at certain points in time. Because we also want to be careful not to burden the system of Parliament and when we go about 200 people, because that is definitely part of our personal budget. And one of the things we realize, because Parliament has got the session where it's calm and quiet, you find that from December, January, February or so, there's just no activity. And we have been carrying people on our salary. The truth is, we need now to be very sophisticated. Some parents will realize that they pull in, they have partnerships with hotels, and they bring in people at certain points in time when they're fixed. And that's the route we'll take. However, we are aware that currently we actually have to get in more than allow the other three kind of professional workers to come in. So we're doing that, but we don't envisage where we're going to get an info about 100 people that we have employed full time, because we don't think it's cost effective. We think we must be sophisticated. 25 years of a family system, we must be sophisticated, and other families are doing that too. They have partnerships with child school. They use their platform to train graduates, and we do have a graduate program that we're introducing. That project program, we recommend the peace visa to try and get funding from them. And we hopefully, into the next year, this Parliament, we will win the battle of peace visa and really get some sort of income to support us in that approach. I just want to share with members, when we advertised the bartender, there was an backlash from the union, because they said Parliament is paying so much for just a person who serves alcohol. So they said our salaries were too high, and we're in trouble with the union. Similarly, the ICT team, we're very aware. A lot of what we're doing in the ICT team, we're going to train people and make sure that we actually get more officials supporting members. And we also have a seamless approach that we're trying to introduce, so that we don't have one person that's having feeling work and one factor. We actually have a better integrated student approach in supporting members. With respect to the area of the turnaround time, indeed, with the member support, the volume of them is a result of a lot of members exiting. And at that time, that area was definitely stressed. And the manager of that area is here in the bottom. And what they're trying to do is, because there was also, I think the members did ask, in the bottom of the month retirement in that area. And that area has been addressed, and the manager is managing to make sure that we get to close this in time. But in the interim, we'll need to relieve those officials so that they are never overstretched. I'm going to ask my other officials to address other matters that need to be addressed, and maybe all of the financial issues that they fall for that. Thanks.
Thanks, honourable members, again. The first question is about the loss of office graduating, whether we anticipate any change in the policy in line of the overspending. the loss of office graduates in terms of an assessment which was issued in 2008. In fact, for the loss of office graduates and exit graduates, the exit graduate was a candidate issued in 2016. Whether there will be a change in policy in line with the overspending, I can't respond to that one, but it was up to me. I'll say, let's change it, but it's not up to me. I think there's a commission on the remuneration of political office bearers. I think they have to take this into account. Whether we budget for this, we do budget for this, honorable members. And also, they, during the course of the term, it's not only on the election year, but the problem this year was the number of members who didn't come back after the elections. Even during the 2014 elections, we have a budget, we even surrendered some money because we could build all of it. But this year, it's just because of the number of members who decide. Nobody has spoken them. As indicated, we did request from National Treasury about 111 for this, but they only gave us 73. So we have to carry the funds from our baseline, but they will give us the money during the assessment budget next year. What we'll do, we'll provide the members with the two cards, the one for 2008 for the loss of office and the one for 2016 on the exit gratuity. The projected overspending on transfers to political parties because we have got the same number of members, yes. We have got three allowances to political parties. The constituency allowance, which is based on the 454 members. That one will never change if we have got 2 or 10 parties to remain the same, because it's based on the number of members. But the other allowance is the admin and the support. It's based on the number of political parties. If the number of political parties increase, this allowance will increase. Also, the reduction of the executive, as I indicated. But when you pay this one, you take the 454 members, you minus the number of executives, then you pay that of the remaining members. But now, because we've got more members because of the reduction, it's more expensive for Parliament. The next question was the difference between the spending under core business between the mid-year and the second quarter report. Honourable members, you can check under slide number 27 on the mid-year one. The core business, the Deputy Secretary of Core Business and Events, they are both sitting under the office of the Deputy Secretary of Core. So you can check here, we've got under the Deputy Secretary, we've got 207. Under Events, we've got 1847. If we add the two amounts, we get 2054. Then if we can go to the mid-year one, to the second quarter one, we've combined the two amounts and say 2054 under the office of the Deputy Secretary, the same thing. Here we just provided more information, but they will combine the two amounts together. So maybe going forward, we just make sure that we are consistent. If we combine them in both these presentations, but that's the reason there. The overspending, where the overspending is coming from, maybe let's go to slide number on the second quarter one, just to indicate where all the overspending is coming from. Just a minute. Slide number 14 on the second quarter presentation. This will give us an idea of where all the overspending is coming from. The first overspending of 111 million is coming from compensation of members, which is led to the payment of loss of office and exit gratuity. The second one is on compensation of employees. This 18 million here is in relation to the payment of medical aid for former members of parliament and provincial legislature. The next one is 5.2 under goods and services members' entitlement. This relates to the entitlement members are entitled to in terms of the handbook. And the last transfer under the last overspending is under transfer. There was also a question on the adjustment budget. Yes, we did request an adjustment budget of 139 from National Treasury. There was even a meeting between the executive and the Minister of Finance, just forgot the day. But we only received 73 million for direct charges. That's all we received. So what is happening now? Last week Friday we had a budget to quota for parliament managers where we're trying to see where to recruit us the budget which is available. But we won't get any additional money from National Treasury. That has been done. Right now we're busy drafting a submission to the executive board to see where can we take myself and make up of the shortfall. I think I have served everything on finance this year. Thank you, Honourable Member.
There was a question, Chair, on the study group, the study funds. What happened is there are two components to it. The first one is the fund that is coming from the EU currently, which in the Speakers Forum it was agreed that the expenditure should be issued to members. However, on the basis of the speakers themselves and the chairpersons in the case of Parliament, really deciding on the relevant degrees and the training, because the view was it has over time been quite evident that members will take any degree in respect. That's one. The second thing that was asked by for us to do through the speakers and the chair in the issue of Parliament was that it's going to be important that we get guidance on how do we empower members quite constructively to make them do the right and empower them. And meaning that we have to revisit the short programs and long-term programs that can actually assist the members. And a few things were identified, like how do you up the support of marketing and usage of the technologies to members, how do you up issues such as sharing, lawmaking, using those modules that relate to the priorities of Parliament. So those discussions were there, and the speaker and the chair are supposed to drive the proposal. But we were given direction, promises that at liberty to support their members, and also Parliament at liberty to support their members. But the emphasis was that we should really, really try to make sure that even those universities don't necessarily provide us with currency and very important. The message that came out of the meeting with the speakers was that their speakers will have to meet their skill needs from the members, and we as officials structure programs in line with what we then have to say they're supporting the government. That's over and above those who want to pursue different things.
Yes, before I hand over to members, is there anyone that you want from the team to make a question?
Thank you, Pam. I want to respond to the question on legal advisors. We appointed three more legal advisors in 2019 to commit, I believe, in October. Thank you for having me this year.
Okay, before I get to your project, I think I just want to get into the last point. I think what you have discussed, what the speakers forum has discussed, as and when they meet to you are expected to identify, it should not be for a short term, for a month, if while here. Because we are not employed here, we are deployed after 5 years, your term of office is expired, and whatever you have acquired, it should be of use to you and make you to be able to get into the market whatever sphere that you have chosen. But that's what I want to do. You should not look at the now situation about the short. But also, it is appreciated that you are looking forward as to how you can improve. There are things that are outstanding. I thought the person who was responsible for the issues of members in check, is it in the HR? Okay. So, there are issues there. Members are and I think Honorable TV has raised that thing, that in one of the people that have started to affect that your part is to create the work, but you not get used to create. And you are told that he's owing something like 20 rand or whatever amount he has paid. But over and above that, all the time, I know when you go in. You get there, while you are in class, you are told that you are supposed to start with the classes. Already you are there, you are spending all the challenge, you are in the hotel, you are eating, you are in the class, you are told that Parliament is in. You can't get a student card. And all those things, they are very frustrating. So the issues of payment by Parliament is a problem. I understand now the issue of Nelson Mandela University. Somebody who said she spoke to Mr. Newman. The story that she was told is that now you have decided to take the matter to human. For those who were in group one, we have received our results. But there were those who were in group two. And they have done the whole course. They have certified. They can't get their results because there's an issue of payment between the institution and the Parliament. So it's very irritating and disturbing if all the time you get, you know, this complaint or excuses. That Parliament has not paid, And when you speak to Omar Khoji and them, there's nothing they can do. You go to their supervisor and say, you can't also get an answer. So I think in 2014, by this time, we would have received a session or a presentation from training. Human resource development, whereby they will present to the members what is available, what is expected of them, so that we start checking and also to know what is there to offer in terms of what is it needed. Members are when they're asking us and we are not sure if the information that we are giving them is accurate or is healthy. So it will be appreciated if we can find things. I know that the problem is not how they are conscious of, but we need to get that before the institutions are good, so that we can get an opportunity to apply to other resources who want to do or who have registered for the courses that are not there in the agreement, several agreements that we have with the community.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to check here. I overheard a gentleman saying that they are looking for more funding for the Parliament. The previous, in the fifth Parliament, there were about 57 committees. And in the Parliament, it's about now 46 committees, which is less than committee down. I wonder that was the people who said that they must try to cut the cost. Now, I just want to check, after that, the budget for those 7 committees that are no longer existing. What happened to that money? Where it has been used? Thank you.
Anything else?
Thank you, Chair. I asked some specific questions earlier on. I don't know if Mr. Maroso is going to respond. On the permanent support, are you adequately staffed at this moment in time so we don't get this pressure on them? And the other one was on the OA dining facilities and the library. Precinct, is it on track? When we come back in 2020, is it going to be open? Or what's going to happen? I've been given to understand reliably that maybe this is only to the EMU, because there are some concerns about cash flow and all other things. So I'm putting it before us here to find out whether that is the case or not.
Okay, over to you.
Thanks, Jefferson. I propose that with the training, I know that the Honorable Moroto and Honorable Umanya, the members, not the co-chair of that committee, are the ones who are driving the committee, so that as soon as there should be a meeting to deal with all the members of that project, we will train them and the partnership with the members. Partnership of the Veras University, that we then will communicate that to the chairpersons of that committee, but that's where it's interpreted better. The ones when we were at the meeting in V109, this letter was read, and what at that time did call it that it is to convene yet another meeting, so that we hurry up on the needs of members, and then Ms. Noble also can talk a little bit more about it. And I will say, we recognize Hamburg on the basis that their standard has been refurbished, probably ready as they had some food to. And no doubt, hopefully what happens is, because these are such old buildings, once they start trying to correct something, something else falls apart. However, I know for the fact that Ms. Domo, who is working with project managers in Habitat, would have an idea of, as far as we know, this was the schedule, because if it's determined to be over in January, and he will take a month. However, we are hoping that. But they do update us, but I'm sure she can enlighten us on that. The deadline that we're committed to by afterwards, because that's definitely the general guidance. And she is here, I think, yeah.
Thanks, Chairperson, honorable members, Secretary, Acting Secretary. I wanted to give context onto the question relating to the turnaround time, because it has been coming quite a number of times, and I think it's important to give it or put it into context. In the first instance, the advent of the Sixth Parliament saw a high turnover of members of Parliament, and this increased the workload of registration of members for claims, and this has had a negative effect on the turnaround for the reimbursement. Number two, the claims processing in itself is done against the spending data that we normally collate or collect from members, which implies the registration of the distances. Number two, the nearest airport that the member would be traveling to. It deals with the constituency that the member belongs to and the home base that the member belongs to. All this requires to have, I mean, we have to have an address to be able to map it accordingly and be able to measure the distances and be accurate about what we're going to reimburse against. The claims cannot be processed without the validation of the data, because if data is not validated, it becomes increasingly difficult to even be able to do the reimbursement. More often than not, because we have a huge chunk of members who are may regard as being new, the validation itself takes longer because you have to do a lot of corrections. It affects the turnaround time, because whereas you could have been able to do it much sooner, it goes back to you to start your recommends. And it really creates frustration, I must indicate, particularly for members, and we really empathize with them. But what is equally important is the fact that once that has been concluded, we then have to factor that into our own system. The unexpected and unplanned absence of key processing staff has also had a bearing onto this matter. Coupled with that, as we did mention, I think the acting secretary did allude to the fact that two of our staffers who've been here longer, more than 50 years collectively, have gone on pension, and of course it has created a gap. We have to fill that gap and ensure that we fill those positions like yesterday. But I need to indicate that over and above, we've requested all hands on deck to say all of us will have to do processing as a matter of urgency to avoid having members being in such an awkward predicament. If you were to look into what has transpired, which you'll get, of course, in the next quarter, the turnaround times, particularly for October, it has significantly changed. And we believe that as we move on that trajectory, we can be able to reduce it even further. But what is equally important, honorable members, is that we would want to change the manner in which the data is collected and how we do the processing. And we believe as we move on, we can be able to do it more electronically, and it will be able to be done virtually almost immediately once we can be able to move into the new system, which we hope to be able to implement in the new financial year. In that sense, we'll be able to alleviate all these problems. So we're mindful of this matter, and we believe that we can be able to utilize the system that we have, tweak it around, be in conformity with the changing circumstances, and allow for things to be able to happen much more expeditiously. We believe we can be able to do that because we've been testing the system, and we believe we can be able to achieve that. With respect to the matters pertaining to capacity building of members, which is a very thorny issue, I think the Acting Secretary has mentioned what has transpired. Remember, the Deputy Speaker is the main custodian of capacity building for members. He's actually made it very clear that the policy that was there before has to be changed. We're working on changing the policy to be able to be in conformity with the outcomes of the strategic planning process that says, what are members here for? In the first instance, they are legislators. Legislation crafting becomes absolutely crucial so that they can then be able to, probably we may actually see a greater upturn of private members coming about. I don't know. But I do believe that it's a very crucial aspect that has been identified. So we look into those kinds of permutations to be able to infuse what has been derived from the planning sessions and be able to put it into place to be able to drive the process forward. With members who were there in the 5th Parliament, I think we made it abundantly clear that we could not predict who was going to come there into the 6th Parliament. And therefore, the provision of bill service in particular ended during the 5th Parliament. Moving forward, coming now, we said, it's not really prudent to be able to say we're going to commence with the old system. Rather, we're going to allow the system to be able to be refined, especially the policy, and be able to commence with a new policy rubric in going forward. But what has actually transpired, which members really have to be mindful of, is that the process that is normally taken on board by LSS, Legislative Support Sector, with the kind of programs they have, which is quite a very crucial one, that can augment a lot of these aspects that members would really want to embark upon, and it should not really be taken for granted because it's money that we believe should be well spent because it comes from donor funding, and we can be able to optimally utilize that particular funding. There may be queries here and there that I might have actually missed. If you were to use the Nelson Mandela University as an example, the program was initially sponsored by Human Settlement Department. As we got on board, components thereof had to be sponsored by ourselves as Parliament. So the huge chunk still remains with Human Settlement and not ourselves, because we've covered the aspects that really relate to us, because the payments thereof, we believe we've done our best. Now, when NNM looks into it, it says the whole amount has not been paid, therefore Parliament has not paid, and in reality it isn't us. We're trying to change Human Settlement to do its part, to be able to do its part of the contribution. In essence, that's where the stuff or the problem is happening. Thank you.
If I can, honorable members, I'm just going to take the members through the orders in the NCOP project. We divided the project in 3 phases. Up to so far, the progress is as follows. Phase 1A, which was mainly the office of the chairperson, we are on 95%. Phase 2A, we are on 95% completion. Phase 2, we are on 91%. Phase 3, which is looking at the library and the old assembly, we are on 52%. In terms of the anticipated date for the opening of the library, we are on target, we are still targeting this November. However, there were issues that were raised in today's meeting, the progress meeting, about the installation of the props, and the meeting of today actually concluded to say the contractor must come back and tell us the actual completion date. However, we've been promised that the kitchen will be handed over before SONA 2020. The kitchen and the dining hall.
To come to Parliament. So the first issue that we need to consider.
And then I think the thing that I think they talk about is that, you know, do you allow only one person to deal with the reputation and final signing off? Only here the faith is out there, you know. If she's not at work, the whole system collapses. At some point, she was injured for a month or two, you know, for the disaster. So we had to wait for her to be released from the hospital, then she was done. And so, I mean, we cannot rely on an individual to run such a huge responsibility. So we need three or four people to do that. So, any issues that have happened. For the past, I think for my assistant, for the past 5 months, since our first meeting, we've been talking about the same issue. I might be wrong here. Yeah? Yeah, we've been talking about the same issue. From my side, I must say I'm not satisfied. There's no, I'm not getting any feeling that we will move, you know. I have a feeling that we will start dealing with the same agenda items for the coming 5 years. Remember, this is not our agenda. The agenda that we injected from the fifth planet, we just continue from what we get. So I can tell you the only thing that has been delivered so far is an extra vending machine, coffee vending machine. And it's not working.
Oh!
So at some point we had to credit my both of us, now we're taking the credit because the vending machine is not working. In our last meeting, Chairperson, we've agreed that we have to schedule site meetings apart from the main portfolio committee meeting. And I was hoping that maybe because I read that the extreme Chairperson report will also acknowledge the commitment that we made as a program of action. Because if we agree on something, it has to be implemented. We agreed that we set up five meetings where we deal with the climate liability, internal control and how to do them in good system, payment and or investment of members on time. We need to resolve issues related to material irregularity, focus of expenditure, and resolve all the challenges that are backdated from 2017-2018 financial year. Remember, we've agreed to that. And what do you think about that? You forgot?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. We spoke about consequence management, cost-cutting measures. Yeah. I think that that was the main important issue. And we also spoke about my ethics. I'm surprised that this is not under the same. So it's the same issues, they just repeat themselves. So can we get a program? You spoke about strategic planning. We humbly request that you do go to your trust plan. And you try identify your own planning tools. Implement. If there are challenges, then you are able to come and present to the committee so that we get disposed of the items that were mainly in the sixth parliament, so that the sixth parliament can now kick in with its own agenda. I want to propose that we improve it and that in all these proposed items, we will see how to then strategically deploy, I'm not sure if deployment is the correct word to use, but we are going to use a very popular how to use that strategically deploy members to then spearhead the sub topics so that we can find solutions. Thank you.
Chairperson, a very short I think there's an opportunity for revenue enhancement with Parliament. Because I sit on a very, very, very important committee of Parliament. And that's the Writing Forum. And just to, I think the Parliament needs to inform all caucuses that the wines, Speaker's wine choice, is now available from today. The white wine is 60 rand. Beautiful white wine. I had some at lunch, that's why I'm pretty sleepy now. And the red wine is at 85 rand. And the boxes are 60 rand. A number of members buy them as Christmas gifts to give away. So there's revenue announcement, I think a secular needs to be sent in that regard. And then on the remuneration committee, just to indicate that next week, some of us will sit on the remuneration committee, our meeting in particular, with the judge of the committee and consultant, just to look at the remuneration package. It's the member support for it. So that's what I'll say.
I suppose that the committee...